Hello and welcome to ABW Radio. ABW Live we are now. Oh, we've rebranded and it's all gone tits up. I don't know what's happening, guys. How are we? It's Thursday. This is the transfer shows. And there's no transfers to talk about.
It's the new show as well, though, Jace.
Oh, yeah. And Arsenal news. And there's no real news apart from dickheads on Twitter. But there you go. That's what life's all about. Yeah, so we're going to slag a few people off. We're going to talk about PSG and the Chelsea games. And with me to do that, I have a surprise guest. You wouldn't have heard him yet tonight. It's Danny the GFP. Hi, Dan.
I'm here. Surprise. I've got a burnt head. Look at that. 45 degrees direct sunlight today in God Manchester. So me, Sean's mum and my mum, we went down to God Manchester River. We sat outside of 60 Franks and ate ice lollies and I didn't give a damn.
Nice.
And
nice.
I even called a pigeon a C word.
Oh, nice. Nice. You're abusing birds.
That's how I roll. I said, I threw him a bit of crisp and he didn't take it or said thanks. So I said, F you, you little C word. Look at that. I'm censoring myself.
I know. I thought you rolled in a chair, though.
Oh, I should have done. I had to go 4x4 to get up to where the benches are. Let's off road.
I tell you what. Also tonight, we have the return of the crab. It's John Welsh. Hello, John.
You all right, Jace? How you doing, mate?
Glad to have you back, pal. I've missed you.
Yeah, it's been a while, isn't it? You know, I did a few little bits during the World Cup and stuff, but I mean, the break has been nice, but I just want the football season to start now. I'm just itching to get going.
Yeah, it's been bizarre though, okay, because last season we were podcasting every week with each other.
Yeah.
And I just haven't seen you. It's just like, What's going on?
I haven't been in the WhatsApp groups. Just, yeah, loads been going on. So I've hardly spoken to you, Danny, Chris, anyone at all. So it's nice to be back.
Well, you've got the minus point of not talking to me and Danny, and you've got the plus point of not talking to Chris. Winner, chicken dinner.
And I spent 2 hours with him going on about shitty grassroots football.
I know. It's a good pod, though. It's a really good pod. Right, guys, bit of housekeeping before we have some shout-outs. We got Simon Collins, the last two Singapore slings. Catch up with those that are on the YouTube channel. Transfer deadline day next week, isn't it, Dan?
Certainly is. We have got, I said everyone DM me if you want to be on. You've got to have a laptop, a Mac, a PC, possibly a tablet if you've got really good Wi-Fi. And then you've got to have a headset or earbuds. And if you don't think you're going to turn up an hour late with your mobile phone, sitting in the toilet thinking you're going to get on, because we've had a couple of people do that and you'll be told to go away. So we've had Cactus Cash said he'd like to do it, Matt Sansai. Ryan Cost, Andrew Angeli, Akib said it. Marble Halls TV said he'd like to. Briggsy, a certain She War said he'd like to. Heroes Recovery said yes. And then maybe not Ron Weasley, I'm not sure. Maybe Daily Cannon, I don't know. Because all those people they're all DMs. So I'm going to wait till there's a few more and I shall start sorting it out this weekend, ready for next Thursday, I think it is. So if you want to be on it, DM the podcast account. If we're not following you, send us a tweet going, oi, fuck faces, DM, follow me, and we'll do that.
Okay, brilliant. Stefan Selby, where are you in that list? Chris Tenmore, where are you in that list? Come on, guys, let's get it together. Let's do it. We'll repeat that at the end of the pod. So if you want to be on the Transfer Deadline Day shows, guys, get in touch with us. Please do. The more the merrier. We love having you on. In the chat box, Daz316 is first in the box tonight. Well done. CeeLaw AFC is there. Alan Craker is there. SwissGooner88 is there. Loki73. Dave Smythe. Was it Smith or Smythe? I'm not sure. Kevo Gunner, Rudy Rastos, Himanshu Taneja. I hope I've done that right, mate. I do apologise. Stan the Man 450, Matthew Hudson, Dave Norris, Kevin LeBec, Mad Wired One, Shane Houston, The Walrus and the Hedgehog, Hassan Ramzan, Sidu 7549. Oh, who the hell have I missed there? No nickname required there. Chris Lodato, Cactus Jack 81, Barry Gunn. And if I've missed you, I do apologise. So, yeah, if you want to be on the Transfer Deadline Day pods, just get in touch with us, guys. Please do. You know, we'd love to have you on there. Tonight, we're going to be giving away another T-shirt. Can you see the T-shirt? Ooh, look at that. Isn't it nice? We've even got a bit of writing on the back. You can have it in black, red, or yellow. If you're abroad, oh, Mshefik is there. And Payush Kapoor. Hello. If you're abroad and you want the T-shirt and you win it, you're going to have to pay towards the postage. I'll buy the T-shirt, but I'm not paying the postage. Bankrupt me. It's just wrong, isn't it? You know? But, yeah, let's get on with it. Right. This is a transfer deadline day show. Well, it's a transfer show. There's not much to talk about. There's no news. But we have played a couple of friendlies. John, did you watch a PSG game?
Yes, I did. I forgot that was on, and I forgot the Chelsea one was on, but I managed to catch them just about in time. PSG was, I mean, it was good. Obviously, was it 5-1 in the end? Yeah, it was, wasn't it? 5-1. The one thing I would say, the caveat is, pre-season obviously doesn't mean a whole lot. It's more about fitness, that kind of thing. And also, you look at the PSG's lineup.
Bunch of kids.
Yeah, realistically, you know. But, you know, I thought we looked good throughout the preseason, what I've seen of those games and some of the other stuff. Guendouzi, the young French kid who's coming in, has looked really, really good. Very impressed with him. He looks like he's going to be straight in the first team squad. You know, the way that Emery's been using him. We've been playing 4-3-3 a lot, not 4-2-3-1, as I thought it would be, and a lot of other people did as well, because that's kind of what Emery's always preferred. Ozil's been obviously only just come back and he's played wide as well. So that's interesting. He's not playing him in the middle. Is that going to be a consistent thing? Socrates and Mustafi have been the two centre-back pairings for a couple of games. I guess they're the first choice at the moment.
Oh, I don't know about that, pal.
No clear indication of who's going to be number one for goalkeeper, which I think is actually a good thing. Like, Cech looks, you know, a little bit quicker off his line than he has done in, like, last season. He got down a lot quicker, I think, in the games where he's played. You know, Leno looked good as well when he played. So, clear competition for that spot, which I think is great. Aubameyang and Lacazette scoring goals. Again, it's pre-season, so it's hard to read into it, but at least they're still scoring. They look like they're getting on really well. Just the general mood in the camp seems great, to be honest. So, I think for a pre-season, you can never read too much into it in terms of, you know, playing style or, you know, individual performances that much, but everything seems good. You know, I'm really looking forward to the season. I'm quite positive. I still think there's some areas we could work on, obviously, and maybe there were some transfer targets we maybe missed out on, but yeah, I'm happy with it.
Dan, you know, John's mentioned, you know, the squad looks happy. You know, it seems to be a really good team spirit there, etc. You know, we've had a really good team spirit for the last 4 or 5 years. You know, since the Snake RVP left, the team spirit's always been good. I've never known it not to be, you know. It's just the quality of what we've done at the pitch at times just left us, let ourselves down. What's your impression of how things have gone?
Yes, yeah, it's pretty good. First of all, I haven't seen any of the games in any kind of detail because watching pre-season friendlies for me is much like making love to a beautiful woman. I have no idea why, and I don't do it. But it's nice to see. Unless you've seen the Fast Show, you won't have any idea why I just butchered. But I tried, didn't I? I'm very trying. Yeah. When you've got Buffon in goal and Lassana Diarra at the back, I'm surprised that we didn't get 10 or 15 goals. And I read a couple of reports, the tweets, that people said we could have got 10, or if it wasn't for Buffon and possibly Diarra, we could have got 10, 12 goals that game. And the other thing I noticed in the game is that Aubameyang starting up front, which is... I don't think any of us are completely sure whether he is going to be playing out wide, because there's rumours that we are after a wide player. But in that PSG game, Iwobi played wide left. Perez can play wide left. He's still at the club. He's constantly linked with about a £7 million move to Lazio or Napoli. One of the blue ones. God, every time I get that wrong. Ozil pulling the strings in midfield is really nice to see. Guendouzi, who's going to be my replacement for De Boichi's Guendouzi. I've been working on that all day. Just ignore me. I'll shut up after a while. So all these players all fitting together, and little things like the manager high-fiving the players. When that, I mean, personally, I don't high-five because I'm not American and I don't play basketball. But I say I'm an English gentleman. We shake hands, but don't touch me. Oh, see, my brain's going off on one now because there's a fly sat right there on the camera. Fucking thing. But that seems that, like you were saying, the whole mood of the camp is up. We've got different players playing in different positions, whether it's Aubameyang up front or whether it's Lacazette up front. Ozil looks like that is I think one of the only players that is guaranteed of that position is going to be Ozil playing in that 10 behind the striker. And he is going to love every second of that. But you're saying about the centre-back pairing, it's going to be Sokpap and Mustafi, because there are no other first-team ready players. There's a few of the players that have come through last season, like Holding, and probably Chambers is ahead of Holding. And we've got Pathopoulos. God, what's his first name?
Dave.
No, that's the other one, isn't it? Sokpap. That's going to get the wrong one. Who's our other Greek young man? That would be
Mavropanos.
I think Mavropanos is a little bit like Holding. He's not going to be ready for the first team just yet. And with Koscielny being out, there's only really two experienced central defenders that we're going to play at the back. And the only other question might be over who's going to be our goalkeeper, whether it's going to be Leno or Cech. But I'm thinking he's going to start the season with Cech. Leno is going to be playing in the League Cup games, the UEFA Cup games. The FA Cup doesn't start, does it, until January, so you don't have to worry about that yet. I think a lot of it depends on whether Ospina does go to, is it Fenerbahce? You think they're going there on loan for a season, which is completely pointless if you don't want him. Then he was rumoured this time last year to be going to a Turkish team, wasn't he? And he didn't go. So I think a lot of pegs are falling in. That's not even a saying, is it? Pegs are falling into the right holes. Things are looking good. What is that saying? Pegs falling in the right holes.
No, I don't know what you're on.
Things about. Falling into place.
That's it. Cheers, John.
You're thinking of round pegs in square holes. Or
see, that's how my brain's working. I'm fried. I've probably got heat.
John, I really didn't care enough to answer that. Oh, my honest to God, I'm dead already. Right, okay, a couple of things I want to pick up on, okay? Dan's just mentioned a wide player, you know, and one of the guys in the box has mentioned pace, right? There seems to be a distinct lack of pace with us without Aubameyang at top. Hector's not back to the gas he had. I know against Hudson Nwoko last night. I mean, that boy had real gas. What a player. He's going to be special.
Yeah, very impressive.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, people are saying Hector had a terrible game. He got done for gas. But there's nobody in that back four who would have coped with him. And this is the bit I don't get. You know, we've brought in Sokratis, who, whenever he turns, that's all you hear is deet, 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 deet. And, you know, couldn't stay on his feet. You know, looked, I know it's only pre-season. I don't want to give the guy a hard time, but I had a load of people when I raised the concerns about his pace, I had a lot of people telling me, oh, he is quick. I don't know what you're on about. He has no pace. He's shit. Okay, see nothing about him at all to give me any confidence. He looks like a bad footballer. And yet we've brought him in when we really need pace at the back. John, am I wrong? Well, what's going on here? Because, you know, he did not fill me with any confidence last night.
Yeah, I mean, he's slow. I don't think there's any hiding that. I'll be honest, most defenders are going to look slow against that Chelsea winger.
It wasn't against the Chelsea winger.
Oh yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, like the couple of times he got isolated against him when Bellerin was up the pitch, that kind of thing that happened. But yeah, he's not going to turn the best. If you get him turned and running towards his own goal, it's not going to be pretty. I see why we've got him for the price and everything else. I think maybe it is partly to do with helping Mavropanos through, someone from his country, that kind of thing. It's a budget option. I don't think it improves our defence, is the big thing for me. I don't mind his attitude towards defending. Like, you know, there was a couple of times where he didn't look for the pass out from the back, which is obviously what we tend to do and what even under Emery we're trying to do. He just launched it. You know, it was Rose Edit, that kind of thing. He's a bit old school.
He also played Kolasinac and the others into trouble on a couple of occasions.
Oh, yeah, no. Don't get me wrong. I'm reserving judgment yet until the season's underway, because he's new at the club. He's new playing with those players. And he'll take a time because he's a new manager. It's a new club, new players around you. That takes time to adjust. Am I full of confidence for him? No, he was the one signing I was like, I'm not convinced on. But you know, maybe it turns around. You never know. But yeah, I'm not confident in him, I'll be honest. But again, like you said, I don't want to shoot people down. It's pre-season. You know, the season hasn't even kicked off yet.
I gotta be. I think I said this last night, but I was concerned when we signed him. I'm terrified now. I'm terrified. I gotta be honest. This boy worries me. I don't know what's gonna go on here.
I mean, the other thing as well, he's playing on the wrong side. He's always played as a right-sided centre-back, not a left-sided centre-back, which I know some people say, oh, it's not a big thing. Well, it is if you've done that your entire career, because the foot you receive the ball on and your body shape and angle and everything is totally different.
Okay, so we're expecting the ball from, that's fair enough, but some of his positioning, you know, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
You know, some of you know, he was about five, you know, he's 5 minutes late to get him back, you know, yeah. when Chelsea were attacking. That doesn't change no matter what side you're on, and that's the big concern. Dan, you mentioned wide player. Okay, so up top, if we do play Aubameyang on the left, and you know, whether we play 4-3-3, looks like Ozil's going to be on the other flank. You've also got Mkhitaryan up there. You've also got Lacazette there. You've also got Reece Nelson coming through. I love competition, but you're going to have to be a special player to break into that. You know, what type of player do you think can break into it? Because I can't see him dropping Ozil. I can't see him, you know. I can see him swapping Aubameyang and Lacazette around, but... Mkhitaryan, what happens to him?
Well, it's going to be... We've had decades under Mr. Wenger where you stuck to the same formation, the same tactics, no matter the situation. And then the only time we changed tactics is when there'd been a disaster, a hammering. That's when we changed to playing three at the back because we lost like five games out of seven or something like that. I can't remember the exact stats. And... new managers do, they go, right, who are we playing? What's their formation? How do we best get that the most out of our team against their team? Are we home? Are we away? If it's a neutral ground or not. And then all these things he'll take into consideration. So I think, much like he said, we'll have five captains. I don't think we'll have one formation throughout the season. And he will go, right, we've got three games in a week. We're not going to play like Wenger for a long time would play the same players week in, week out. And we all said with Ramsey, Wenger finally learned in the last season that you cannot play Ramsey week in, week out because he's not capable of doing it. He's going to have a breakdown. And Wenger learned that in the last part of the last season. Two magnificent results. And I think that's what what Emery is going to do. We're going to see players coming in and out. You're not going to see any player, apart from maybe the odd defender, who is going to come and play 10 games in a row, depending on the competition. And he's going to go and look at it. And I'm looking forward to seeing who is going to be playing in what formation. And maybe we'll see one game where Aubameyang will be out front against a team where they're vulnerable to a little bit of pace. And then the next game, a team where we might want someone who like Lacazette, who's more of a poacher, and sometimes maybe see both of them. I think he's played so many combinations in pre-season friendlies. It's been, you'd need an abacus to try and work out who played in what position, who is going to play in what position. And then there's still talk today that Mvia has said there's an Italian team that want him, and he's told them that he wants to hold off in case Arsenal come in for him, but that's not happening, is it? But it's exciting.
Jan Mvia.
Yeah, I think it's exciting with the formation. And I think these people, like the websites like Transfer Market and WhoScored.com, good luck getting the formations right. When you've got one player playing a half in one position, the next half he's going to go and play another position. The next game, you're going to have Aubameyang playing out wide. Like you were saying, Ozil could well play on the right-hand side. He plays on the left a lot for Real Madrid and was magnificent in a feeder league. Then the next game, Ozil may be playing in the 10 behind him. The next game, he might play three in the middle. And he might want Ozil to play in the middle with as the creative one, with a couple of defensive ones beside him. The possibilities are endless. It's like when I cook dinner, you never know what you're going to get. You may well get bananas and custards, or sometimes you might get jalapenos and baked beans. Either way, gobble it down.
Oh, God. God help us. Okay, John, wide player. You know, talk to me. I mean, I, you know, okay, yes, I'd love a really attacking wide player. The one thing I thought, you know, I don't want to go in too much at some of the things from last night, but, you know, Guendouzi gave us real direction at times. You know, he gave us drive forward. with Aubameyang and Mkhitaryan, with Ozil and Mkhitaryan, you don't get that drive. It's a bit more cultured. They lay off and look for space. We didn't kind of play Aubameyang in on a long ball over the top, whether that was down to Chelsea's tactical side of it. I'm not sure, because the camera angles last night weren't the greatest.
Yeah.
And neither was the commentary, by the way. Ah, Stan Collymore, and who's the dickhead? I give up. But
a long list. Who's the dickhead?
Yeah, I know. I think I'm on it.
On ESPN, so I can't remember who our commentary team was. But yeah, they weren't the best.
Yeah. So I didn't get to see. You know, are we able to play the long ball over the top to get him on his on his way, or? You know, what type of, if we were to be looking for a wide forward, A, what type of guy are we going for? Are we going for a young, hungry guy? Because I don't see us having the money to go for an established guy. All this talk about Dembele, I don't see it at all. Yeah. I also don't see that he's done enough to justify, you know, he hasn't failed at Barcelona. It's only his first season. He's had a tough time. He's got attitude issues. I don't see him being an Arsenal player at all. But I don't see anybody out there who sticks his hand up and says to me, yeah, you know, come and get me.
Well, I mean, it's a big opportunity if you're Reece Nelson, because he's realistically, the only guy in that team who is attacking quick, a natural dribbler of the ball. Like the closest we've got to that, I guess, is Iwobi, who, let's be honest, is not fans' favourite at the moment and hasn't really stepped up since he's got into the team, improved at all. If anything, he's gone a bit backwards. So it's a big, big plus for him if no one does come in. I agree. I can't see Dembele happening. What was he, like 100 and something 30, million?
130 yeah. million.
I mean, they're never going to get that back, Barcelona, if they decided to sell him. But it's, still, just with the stupid prices now, they're going to want, like, north of 70 for him. And one, I don't see us having that kind of money, unless we sold someone. And that someone would have to probably be Aaron Ramsey. But I'm not sure I'm convinced by him. He was good at Dortmund and he was good at towards the end at Barca. But like you said, the serious problems with his attitude and stuff like that is a really big put off for me. If we could find another young guy, then maybe. You've also got to think, you know, Welbeck is in contention for one of those wide spots.
Yeah.
Not a personal favourite of a lot of fans either. Hasn't got the great technical ability, but he has got pace. He's very quick, Welbeck, and he will run a defence ragged if you give him the chance. He's not a dribbler, which is the big difference. He's not an out-and-out winger. So, I don't know. I don't see anyone else coming in, and I definitely don't see someone coming in for that spot unless at least Welbeck goes and maybe someone else. Like, there's still some players that have got to leave the squad, but it is definitely a gap, because when you look at our midfield, like I think central midfield, we're fairly covered. You know, Torreira, Guendouzi's come in, look really impressive already. Xhaka, Elneny, Maitland-Niles obviously in the first team squad as well. Ozil can play in the middle if you need him. But those wide, actual, real attacking players, we haven't got, because Mkhitaryan wants to come inside most of the time. Let's be honest. Ozil wants to come inside. He doesn't really want to play wide. I think that also presents an issue when you're defending, because if you are playing 4-3-3, whoever those two wide guys are, they're supposed to be dropping back and helping the fullback. And I think you saw that a little bit last night. Bellerin didn't have the best of games, partly down to the fact that the Chelsea youngster, that winger, was fantastic. Rapid. And had a cracking game, and he was actually a good winger in the fact that he went outside and inside multiple times. He didn't do the same thing every time, like you do see a lot of the sort of hyped up wingers do. But
yeah,
Bellerin got no cover, whether it was Mkhitaryan in front of him or Ozil, and that switched during the game, so he didn't get any help at all, which is
Didn't see such a point in that out a lot, did I?
Yeah. That's a big issue, because if we end up playing 4-3 a lot, which I think we will, just because the makeup of our team kind of suits that, when we are without the ball and our fullbacks are basically providing all our width, when we get attacked, whoever's in front of them has got to come back and drop in. And I don't see enough of that in the players that will be playing there, in the likes of Mkhitaryan, Ozil, Iwobi. Welbeck is the one who would do it. But if anyone was to go, you'd probably think it's him, because he's only got a year left. And let's be honest, he hasn't done I don't want to slag him off Welbeck because he always tries his hardest. I just think he's, you know, he's at the limit of what he can do as a footballer. But, you know, that's it.
Yeah, I see you saying, you know, the quality's not quite there. I find it strange, you know, we're looking at Welbeck. You know, players can go, can be sold after the transfer window closes, but only to foreign leagues.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what's going to happen. I can see him staying. I can see a kind of new contract there just to make sure we get some value out of it. But I just look at the wide player and I just think we're not going to spend big money on a wide player. I can't see it happening, you know?
It only happens if we sell Ramsey.
Okay, so let's stick on Ramsey then. Still no contract signed. I'm going to go to Dan first and come back to you, John. Dan, what's your feeling on this? Do you think Aaron stays or do you think he goes? Where are you?
Well, I hope he stays. He's coming up for 28 in, I think it's November, December, something like that. He's shown last season that he can bring back, because he had that one fantastic season where he scored, what was it, like 14, 15 goals in that season. And then the next season, he got another 10 or 11, something like that. And then after that, it all dried up, partly because of injuries, partly because of being overplayed, partly because of being brought back too soon and getting a knock. And then it was really hard for him. But now I think he wants to play in that, the Ozil position. And I think that is the position that would probably suit him best if they do move Ozil out to the right. But I think all these things have got to be taken into consideration for him if he is going to sign this new deal. He has seen that the last two seasons, last season especially, just looking, what did he get? Come on, load. Oh, he got 11 goals in 30 games last season, 1 in 3. He got 7 in 22 games. People are saying that he only played 22 Premier League games this season, 23 last season, that he misses a lot of games. Well, in the games that he did play, he showed that he was brilliant. And now he has seen someone like Ozil, who has had, for his own standards, a very poor two seasons. And then he's Ozil's wages have gone from, we don't know, but roughly 140 to roughly 300. And so Ramsey agent is probably looking at that and going, yeah, you were much better than him last season. You should be on that similar kind of money. You've been at the club for, what is it now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That was his 10th season. Bloody hell. You've been here 10 seasons. You deserve a little bit more respect than that, because that's what the new agent is going to, his agent is going to do now. He's got his new company. And I think maybe if it was up to Aaron on his own, he probably would have signed it by now, just because he loves the club and he's been here for so long. I think that he will sign, but it's just a matter of his agent not being a greedy bastard. An agent's ruined football, but then he's going to want some other stipulations in the contract, isn't he? Allegedly. But he is one of our best players. And like you said so many times, Jace, all these morons that go, if he ain't going to sign, fuck him off out of the club. Okay, let him go on a free. And then to replace him, 60, 70 million pound player, where are we going to get that from? Wouldn't it be better to give him the contract he wants, give him a 5-year contract, and then that contract is going to, I don't even know how much he wants. So say if it's 200 grand a week, what's 200 grand a week times 52? It's a lot of money. Give him whatever he wants. I don't care about transfer fees. I don't care about wages. All I care about is keeping the best players at the club, because we've had a decade of our best players leaving because they haven't been given the money they require when other teams are falling over themselves to give morons like Sanchez money, more money than any other player in the Premier League that he doesn't deserve, that he hasn't earned. And then he goes for half a season and does bugger all for the club. So I hope he stays. And it is a little bit cheeky that he's letting it go to the transfer window has got 1 week. This time next week, the transfer window will have been closed. So they've got a week to get this sorted. If not, by January the 1st, 2019, he can talk to other clubs, and we cannot put ourselves in that situation, because we will look back at this, much like we look back at Cesc Fabregas, as a magnificent players that should have spent their entire career at the club, retired at the club. And I don't want to take that risk. We can't do it. He's too good.
Yeah, John, Danny talks about the money side of it there. Obviously, when you look at the money that Chelsea have spent, United spend on a regular basis, City spend, the marketplace is so convoluted. You don't know what a player's worth anymore. You just don't know, you know what I mean? Yeah. And we can only go by what happens within the club, I suppose. But, you know, I mean, if it is a case of money, already he's in his final year of his contract. So we're not going to get the money for him that he'd be worth to us with sort of three seasons left. Surely you know, okay, even if you just sign him up to sell him on next season, if he does want to go, it's worth that? Or do you think this is genuinely, well, I'm going to let my contract run down? Because at the moment, you know, I see a lot of people, you know, you see the Ramsey haters on Twitter. Oh, I don't think he's going to have what he wants, etc. He leaves the contract run down. He gets a £20 million signing on fee from any club worth its salt, bare bones.
Yeah.
He's laughing. He's laughing, you know.
He has all the cards in this, totally. But the club have got to take a firm stance because they can't. Like, I love Ramsey and I totally would want to keep him. I think he's really, really good. I think he's a superb player. I don't get why people don't like him. Fair enough, everyone has their favourites and people have players they don't like for no reason whatsoever. I hate Antoine Griezmann. No reason at all. But I don't know why. Just dislike
snidey.
Him. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, that blonde hair with the highlights. 1984,
but the club can't. We can't be put in a situation like we were with Sanchez. The fact that we've got to this point and there's a year left is bad enough. You know, it's similar to basically the reason why Ozil got the ridiculous contract he did was because he knew that he could ask the club for anything and they'd give it to him. Because they've seen Sanchez go, they've been put in a situation where, right, maybe we did want Mkhitaryan. We don't know whether we actually were in for him. Was that just like, this is the only way we get Sanchez out of the club and we save a little bit of face? And Ozil got tons of money. Now they're in the same situation with Ramsey. If it gets to the end of the transfer window and he hasn't signed a contract, that's really worrying for me. Because unless we are, you know, we've got some sort of foresight planning or we already know that he's going, you know, abroad, and we're going to sell him after the English transfer window closes, and then we're going to invest some of that money maybe in January because we feel we're covered enough in central midfield areas, then that's a huge problem. Because if that window closes, the season starts, then Ramsey there's no reason for him to sign it. He may as well just run it down until at least January then, and then speak to other clubs and go, look, how much are you willing to offer me, Bayern Munich, you know, Juventus, whoever? Like big clubs around Europe, and people may laugh and say, "Oh, those clubs won't talk to him." Of course, they would. They will absolutely talk to him. He's not like other British footballers. I won't say English, Jace. I almost said it. that refuse to go abroad. I think he's more than capable of going to play abroad, and I think actually probably I'd imagine he'd probably quite like to. So the club have got to make a big stance on this. People are saying Ramsey's replaceable. I agree he is, but it's a lot of money to replace him. Get a player who can come straight into the team, fit into the Premier League, fit in with the other players, score the goals he does, make the runs he does, and get the assists he does, it's not going to be cheap. It's going to cost a lot of money.
More to the point, a player who allows other players to play the way he does.
Yeah. He brings the best when he's on his top form. He brings the best out of Ozil and vice versa. He improves the play of others. So it's all well and good. I've seen people say just stick him on the bench and just let his contract run down for a year. I mean, that's just stupid. You can't do that anymore. It's just too much money.
Okay, sorry. Stop this. Stop it. Archie. Archie says put Ramsey in the under 23s and he won't be a legend nowhere. Archie. Stop being a tit. He's a highest scoring mid-central midfielder of all time. Put it into perspective. You may not like the guy, and that's fair enough, but he's your highest scoring midfielder of all time. So put that into perspective. You know, I hear so much bullshit spoken on this, okay? Just because he's not from North London or whatever, I couldn't give a monkey's. The guy gives you everything. He gives you go forward. Now, what he's worth is between him and the club. But let's be honest, this isn't just down to Aaron Ramsey and Aaron Ramsey's agent. The club allowed this to happen with Mesut Ozil. They allowed it to happen with Alexis Sanchez. Now, Sanyehi, Husfani, they all came in last year. So what's been happening since? Let's not blame Arsene Wenger. Let's not blame anybody else. We have a team in place and they still haven't sorted this out. But this is the thing, okay? I know. How are we going to handle this going forward, John?
I mean, I hope this situation doesn't come up again with any other players. It's the fact that it has happened again after those guys have come in that you mentioned is really annoying. But I just think if it gets to next Thursday and he hasn't signed, what reason has he got to say, yeah, I'll sign a contract? Why would you not? If you're Aaron Ramsey, doesn't matter how much you love Arsenal Football Club, doesn't matter. Really, really genuinely doesn't matter. Yeah. You can love the club as much as you want. There is no reason for you to sign a contract. You may as well just say to him, okay, we'll revisit in January and I'll just play from now to then and we'll see where we are then. Because for you personally, you're going to get an even better offer than Arsenal maybe already offering. And other clubs from outside of England can also just say, oh, you know, Aaron, well, we heard Arsenal were going to, you know, offer you this much. We can offer you this much and you can come to this club. And perhaps they're a club who are doing better than us at the moment, which, let's be honest, we are not a Champions League club at the moment. That's another big thing. We are not a club that are, at the moment, at least challenging for the title. If a Bayern Munich or someone comes into you, you're going to listen to that and consider that offer. And also, if you sign that pre-contract agreement, you get a big, big signing on fee. Yeah. And this is his last big contract. This is the one that makes you as a player. This is the money that you sit on for the rest of your life, you know, when you're done with your football career. So I just think the club have handled it badly. It frustrates me that he hasn't signed. All the interviews I've seen with him, he doesn't seem like he's like anywhere near it to signing, you know. And I just think it's been a bit of a mess. And if I'm him, I'm just waiting in until January. I just wait till then and see what happens. Well, I hope he does sign. The big issue is though that if the club knew he wasn't going to sign, or like that they'd, you know, maybe they knew a few months ago and worked it out, they should have just gone out and basically forced the sale. Yeah. Which would have been horrible because I don't want to see him go. I think he's a great player. I'd love him to play his whole career at Arsenal. I think it'd be great. You know, captain's armband, give him all that stuff. But they should have gone out, forced the sale. You would have got good money for him because. If I wouldn't want it sold in, within the Premier League, obviously, but if the bit offer was big enough, then you get it. He's British. That's always big, big money. You're going to clear a load of wages off the books and you can go and reinvest that in the squad in, say, like we wanted a wide player. You can go and do that, you know, in a promising centre back that maybe we need or a fullback, that kind of thing. There we go. We've got our friend, Mr. OG. You think he's waiting to see how it goes with Emery? Yeah, that's another big thing as well. I think people, it's a brand new manager.
It could well be, but I think the big thing as well is, okay, you know, nobody's bigger than the club. Viking absolutely agree, you know, and they have to make a decision sooner or later, but they haven't done anything. The club haven't done anything, and that's what's kind of annoying me. Now, you know, I look at it like this. I've seen us play without Aaron Ramsey, and we are awful, you know, in attack without him. But the problem I got with it is, who do you think we're going to bring in such a short space of time to replace that if you just sell him straight away, even now?
Yeah.
You know, I just see the whole situation as being mismanaged again. And, you know, it's the same old story. It doesn't matter who the guys are at the top of the tree. We've gone back to sort of that similar type of... this indecisiveness. I'm happy for us to sell Aaron Ramsey. Don't get me wrong. Aaron Ramsey will be fine. You know, as much as I love him as a Welshman, etc., he'll be fine. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But the big thing I find is, okay, you know, when he was out injured last season, do you remember all those losses around Christmas time? Me and you were doing the podcast on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Okay, watch us draw against WBA, watching some of the tripe performances. I'm watching certain people get lauded for piss-poor performances. And yet, oh, he ran the game. No, he fucking didn't. We all know who I'm on about. He was awful. And yet lauding that. Mate, he's shit, sorry.
The other thing...
Ramsey shit, because I fucking will, even if I don't mean it.
Before we get into that argument again, which is a
non-argument. No, we're not going back there. But what I'm trying to say is, the difference with this without him and with him, right, okay, so if you're going to sell him, fine, sell him.
Yeah.
But who are you replacing him with? Because
anybody, we don't need anyone, do we? We've got so many people who can play in the middle.
No, I think we don't have another midfielder who does what Ramsey does. Maitland-Niles might go on to be that kind of player. Emil Smith-Rowe might go on to be that kind. He made a couple of good runs yesterday. But there is no player in our midfield who does what Ramsey does. People are saying Xhaka isn't that kind of player. No one
going to get many goals out of him.
No, he's not going to score you loads of goals. He doesn't burst into the box in the way he does. He doesn't open up space for other players.
He doesn't get beyond the ball. And that's the big problem. You know, you look at Guendouzi, okay, guys? I thought I've loved watching this guy since he's come in pre-season. I think Guendouzi is a real prospect. He's got it all in his locker. Yeah, he's a proper doozy. But, you know, you're looking at this kid and you're thinking, it's going to take him time to adjust. You know, he could go on to become a real player, you know, a proper player with us, but it's going to take him time. Now, how do we handle this situation at the moment? Because Ozil doesn't get beyond the ball. Mkhitaryan doesn't get beyond the ball. I wouldn't like to see either of those two drop deeper in midfield.
They can't do the tackling that Ramsey does.
No, exactly. So, I mean, Dan, you know, I'm just going to nip out for a second. You and John carry on with this. But, you know, what do the club do now to sort this out?
I mean, the possible option, reasons why he wouldn't have signed it in the first place that we all know. First of all, the getting the transfers done. We all know under Wenger, because Jason's gone, and I can say, thank God, Wenger's gone. But under Wenger, things wouldn't get done until the transfer deadline. Everything would take forever. We've got all of the transfers that we need. We've done superb strengthening all the way through the squad. People probably don't or may not realise we've bought four really useful young players that have come into the squad, including Guendouzi. So that's one excuse he hasn't got. We signed the manager, got the new manager organised and in place plenty of time before the pre-season started. That's another excuse, like you said, John, that maybe wants to see how things are going to work with the manager. But yeah. I often think that when they say to Ramsey, are you staying at the club? It looks like a bloke who's farted in a room, who knows who farted, and he's going, I don't know. That's the look at it. And look, you want to go, fuck off, Aaron. Come on. You know what's fucking going on. Don't let that wanky, bloody agent of yours ruin your reputation and the love everybody has for you at the club. Because there's not a single person who has a bad word to say about Ramsey and all the shit he's been through and all the shit he's come back through. And he's just, don't let money and a wanky agent ruin your reputation, your memories of the people have of you at this club.
It's the only thing that's frustrated me this summer. Like normally every transfer window with Arsenal is just miserable. And this one's been like complete breath of fresh air. It's amazing. You know, like we got players early. We actually signed players for key areas we really needed. It was great. But yeah, the Ramsey thing is frustrating. I think the one thing is if you did sell him, it would perhaps make getting Ozil in the team in his favoured position a bit easier. Because then Ozil can naturally just play at 10. Whether that's what Emery wants to do, I don't know. Maybe he does want to just play him wide all the time. So I don't know. That's the only thing that's difficult this season. But yeah, like OG said, I hope he signs. If he doesn't, then yeah, I think you should just sell him. You move on, wish him well, and you know, and try and get someone in, you know, to replace him. We've had a couple of questions, Danny, about. Mm-hmm. There's a few people. Thunder Road has just brought up, actually, a good thing about AC Milan. I assume he means AC Milan because he just put Milan. And I am assuming he's talking about a certain Ivan Gazidis possibly leaving. What do you make of all this talk about him going and leaving as CEO and whatever? I mean, do you care in the first place?
Well, all I care about Mr. Gazidis is that he was brought into Arsenal to bleach the club of the woodworm that was Wenger. And he's done that. So now he can do it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Here we go.
He's got rid of it. He's got his finger in every fucking little pie, the program seller, the tea lady, and he's fucking two sugars in that, not one. Oh, you want to be holding that program at a slight angle? He's done his job. He can go.
I'd like to point out, first of all, it was Wenger who bought Gazidis to the club. It was nobody else. It was Wenger who bought him.
That's a stupid fault, then, or if he'd have still been there.
Also, I saw somebody tweet last night. And it was the pure attention-seeking tweet. Oh, give me retweets. Give me retweets. And I'm sorry, I wouldn't normally bring up a tweet, but this wank stain deserves it, okay? And it kind of went along the way of, oh, I can't believe there are people out there saying that they want Wenger to come back to the club, blah, 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 become manager again. Nobody said that. And then went on to say, Wenger nearly ran this club into the ground.
I think I saw that tweet. A favourite.
Yeah, you did. That's how I saw it. Yes. We're the fifth or sixth biggest football club in the planet. He did a terrible job for us, didn't he? You fucking pathetic wankstein. Go back and crawl back in the hole. You don't have to love Arsene Wenger. You don't have to do anything, but don't try to rewrite history. We've moved on from Arsene Wenger and we're still in exactly the same place we were. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. But you know, what does Gazidis do, Dan? Is he going to go?
Well, when John asked that question, the first thing I said, I don't know and I don't care. So the second part of it was just to annoy you. So I win both counts.
But you win. Tats off to you. But John, you know, I mean, if his job is to go to AC Milan, put the right structures in place to sell them on to make a big profit, and he's going to get a share of that profit margin. As much as I'm no fan of Gazidis, you couldn't blame him for going, could you?
No, I mean, he may be one of those guys who just likes projects. It's quite normal for CEOs. Come in, they do their project, they get it in place. He set all the structures there. Let's be honest, Gazidis' job is basically what Sanjay did at Barcelona, minus maybe some of the commercial side of things. I'm guessing Barca probably have a big commercial team already in place. But Sanjay basically ran the club, essentially. So he's put all that stuff there. So I don't see why, unless he's wedded to Arsenal and really wants to be there for the rest of his career, which isn't a normal trend for many CEOs. I don't see it. So yeah, if he goes to Milan, fair enough. He's done a really good job. He's brought some amazing guys in. You look at the fitness guys he's brought in, like some of the best in the world.
Yeah.
The transfer team, you know, the contracts and everything. So, yeah, he's done a really good job. And, you know, if he goes to Milan, then I'd say good luck, but I'm an Inter fan. So, no good luck to you.
To be honest, exactly the same as players. Once he leaves the club, fuck him. But to be fair, I mean, I don't get this side of it. You know, he's a project guy. He's been with us 9 years.
Mm.
He's been with us 9 years. That's not a project guy to me. I see the MSL job as a project. The Arsenal job I see slightly differently. But if that, you know, if there's the money that you kind of think of on offer from
this end. Yeah, I've got no idea what the money is. And I'd be surprised if anyone ever found out what the money is if he takes a job as well. Because they're Milan are now owned by, Elliott Hedge Fund.
Yeah, but don't they have to, I mean, I know all the players, their wages are published in Italy. But does that apply to the higher echelons of the club?
I've got no idea. And I wouldn't believe everything that's printed in an Italian paper.
All right, but yeah, let's be fair. Yeah.
I don't want to besmirch my beloved league that I care about so much. But yeah, there is there's definitely some fudging of numbers at times. Just put it that way.
Yeah. Let's be honest. There's a lot of that goes on. Dan,
further on to that thing, do we need him at Arsenal anymore? Has he done the job? I don't know what his job was, but has he done it? Do we need him?
Look, I think he's been steady in what he's done. I don't think he's been sensational. I think he's done what many other sports CEOs have done. He's guided us competently. The appointment of Burgess, the fitness team, etc., has been very good. Ms. Lintat, I'm not sold on yet. I look at this transfer window and I know we're financially restricted, but I think there's a couple of really good signings there, and I think there's, you know, one horrendous one there. You know, you wait and see. But, you know, the commercial revenue hasn't grown as much as I thought it would in relation to the bigger clubs. But then again, we haven't been winning Premier Leagues, have we? So, you're kind of tied up on that. He's not a disaster. He's not a saviour. He's just a competent CEO. And I think there are many others out there like that. But it's down to us to win games.
Yeah, the big issue, because this is obviously all off-the-pitch stuff, but it does affect the club and how we're performing on the pitch, is if he does leave, who comes in to replace him is the thing. And that board has got a lot of very, very old people on it and some people who know nothing at all about football.
Yeah, but the board will have nothing to do with it, mate. The board will have nothing to do with that. That will be a pure cronk decision.
Yeah, but I'm sure he listens to certain people on that board, though. I mean, the interesting thing will be if it's Josh Kroenke who comes in and takes over. That would be really interesting if he takes that much of a, you know, sort of day-to-day running.
I genuinely wouldn't mind that because I think you may have a bit more buy-in from the Kroenkes then.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, again, I've got no idea. I don't know. We don't even know if he is going or not. The rumour is that if he goes, it will be September. So, you know, whether that means Josh Kroenke comes in or, you know, they go and appoint someone else, I've got no idea. And the, whoever is appointed as the next CEO, maybe he's not going to be as public-facing as Ivan was, who seemed to like the limelight a little bit too much.
when we were doing well.
Yeah, yeah. Let's put it that way. So maybe when if a new CEO comes in, it will be, you know, you'll hear more from San Lehi and Mislintat and that kind of thing. You know, the sort of, it's almost kind of like the Ajax thing where they kind of had more like a council than like one head guy, didn't they?
Yeah. Okay, enough of CEOs. Let's talk the manager. Dan, to you, then to John. It's early days. You can't judge him yet. You know, you need to give this guy a season. But the one thing I kind of liked is, you know, we started off against PSG. We were a little bit under the cosh at times. Then we dominated them. Against Chelsea, we started off and they were all over us. They really were all over us. But he seemed to change it tactically by switching Ozil and Mkhitaryan. And, you know, he seemed to guide us into sort of getting on top, gaining more possession, and then dominating Chelsea. Are you happy about the way he's started his tenure off? You know, it's obviously, you know, you don't want to slag him down yet, but do you think, this could be exciting times?
Well, people need to realise that pre-season friendlies are exactly that. They're a friendly. They're squad building, going out and they're testing out new players in new positions. And the new players that have joined the club or come back to the club after being out on loan for the last 30 years, like Joel Campbell, who still didn't get a game, and Perez, and people like that, who it's about mainly about fitness. And it's also about making spreading the Arsenal name worldwide. And they did a magnificent job in Singapore. And the fans are brilliant, even though the fans had the shirt robbed off them by some nonce, which was an absolute fucking disgrace. And all these things, when you take it as the whole thing as a whole, expect nothing from pre-season friendlies other than fitness, brand awareness, and just team bonding. And on that, 10 out of 10 worked brilliant. I don't care if we would have lost every game 6-0. I doubt very much PSG fans are going, oh, we lost 5-1 to Arsenal, that's our season ruined. They don't care. They all know that out there. They had a bare bones team. Chelsea played a really almost a full strength team. The only one that was missing was Courtois, who is, I don't know if he's not back from the World Cup yet, like quite a few players are. There was no Hazard, a fellow Belgian, and I don't know about any of the others. But I mean, I'm very happy with it. He can do, for me, Emery can do no wrong for the first season. None of the players can do any wrong as well. It's a whole new era. In my entire time of watching Arsenal, which goes back to that you've got Don Howe, George Graham, then Bruce Rioch, and then Arsene Wenger. So it's only my fifth manager that I remember, and that's in 30-odd years. So I'm just over the moon. The fact that we've got a new manager, I'm excited. And this bullshit in the paper where people at the newspapers are clickbaiting with the bollocks of, everyone's really, people are annoyed at Emery. No, I do not know a single Arsenal fan that is either Wenger in or Emery out. None, no one, and I speak to a lot of people.
Look, Arsene Wenger's gone. Arsene Wenger's gone.
But some people are saying that they want him back. They're just clickbait nonsense. Everything's perfect at the club. We're going to have a great season. It's going to be fun, and I'm happy.
Okay, before I go on to John, Dan, we got a T-shirt giveaway later. Think of a question, pal. Come up with a question for me. Okay. Otherwise, I'm going to have to think of it.
Yeah.
John, yeah, you know, what are your thoughts on Emery so far? I'm really impressed with the way he's, you know, taking training. It seems a really, you know, positive place. I really like the way he's learning English so quickly, you know, and he's putting his all into it. He's really having a go. His attitude seems spot on to me. What do you kind of think?
I mean, the language thing alone is hugely impressive for me, just because I'm a complete moron and can't speak any other language and was too lazy in school to learn it properly. And I'm sure, as everyone knows, the older you get, the more difficult it becomes. So you know, obviously we've heard Simon's Singapore Sling podcast when he was out there on the tour, and he's obviously seen Emery basically from the start of him joining Arsenal all the way up to now. And he said every time he's spoken to him or seen him in press conference, it's got more and more, you know, impressive and more fluent. He's dealing with more and more difficult questions without having to ask his interpreter. I think that is a huge thing and should be really, really admired.
He said his interpreter is with him 24 hours a day, a woman, and it's brilliant.
Yeah. I think that the sort of the energy he's got on the sideline is good. Sometimes that kind of thing is a little bit overblown. You know, Chris is one who often criticizes that kind of thing and says, oh, come on, the manager jumping up and down. It does make a certain amount of difference, but I agree it's not the biggest thing, but he's a nice motivator. He gets the fans going, which I do think can affect the players. Despite the fact that I thought Chelsea looked a little bit ahead of us in terms of their fitness, maybe in the game yesterday, I think they did have obviously a stronger team out, but although they exploited our high line, I like the way the team has been pressing in games. You know, it's not just the forward players, all of the midfield have been doing it. They've been pressing together properly as a unit. Yeah, sometimes it's gone a little bit wrong and players have been out of position, but they are still learning it all. And I think in the Premier League, that is something you really can use and exploit. You look at Liverpool, you look at City, you look at the scumbags with the new toilet stadium. You know, they're all teams that have done this very well and they've got, you know, good results out of it. I think it suits our players. And like you said already, he showed flexibility yesterday. He changed things around a bit. He switched players and positions. Some of Guendouzi and Elneny switched a little bit their midfield positioning. They changed up a little bit in the second half, which I think improved us. So, yeah, I'm really confident with him. Like Danny said, the first season, you've got to give it to him. He's new to the league. You've got to see how he does. It's possibly a blessing that we've got Chelsea and City as our first two games, because
it all depends if we win, isn't it? You win the two games, it's a blessing.
The thing is, you know, if we lost both those games, obviously it's not a disaster, but it's not great. But if we go out and we perform well and we lost, then I think fans now, because it's a new manager, they're not going to immediately jump on him and go, oh, this is a disaster, we need to get rid of him. You know, like Danny said, bring Arsene back. You know, I'm sure there'll be some people who say that whenever we lose a game. I hope that we get, obviously, win those games. It makes it a lot easier. But, you know, I think people will give him more time and they should do. But, yeah, just everything he says just makes me, you know, comfortable in the way he talks about football, the way he talks about the team and hard work, and, you know, seeing what he's done at other clubs, PSG with being the exception. They've all worked really hard and he's got people out of teams that don't do what he asks, with the exception of Neymar, obviously, who obviously you can't kick out PSG because the owners love him. But, you know, Krychowiak, who was a player who, very good player, but wasn't doing what he was told at PSG. So off you go, son, you're on your bike. You know, you've got to go to West Brom and absolutely stink up that team, which was already bad enough. So I think it's all good. And I hope it keeps the players on their toes. You know, Simon said to us about the double sessions. We'd had double sessions before, but they'd never had double running sessions before. Players were coming back and like they were going, you know, we're fucked, basically. Like, we're absolutely bot because we've never been worked that hard before. I think that's all good things.
Okay, well, look, you know, the fitness guys then now with Burgess as the performance director, yeah, he'll know, you know, having worked in AFL, if you watch a game of AFL, you see proper fitness. It's just unbelievable, AFL. You know, I love watching it. It's just the fitness levels of those athletes is just phenomenal. So they'll know what they're doing in relation to fitness and how to get the best of these guys to peak at the right times. But so that
fitness, Jace, comes down to what the manager is demanding of them in a game. This is not me Arsene bashing, because every manager has their own style of play. But yeah, if Arsene wants the team to play a certain way and Emery wants them to play a very high tempo pressing game, you've got to be of a different fitness level to you were under Arsenal. Arsenal. So, you know,
the point is more they'll have the right fitness packages
absolutely.
The team. You know, and that's kind of exciting. And I think, you know, obviously there is a new sort of team in there now with management team, etc. And, you know, it is going to take a little bit of time for these guys to get the players into the moulding them into what they want. And we'll see the ones who survive and the ones who thrive, and then the ones who are left by the wayside. You know, I think there's a big season ahead for Alex Iwobi and a couple of others. And, you know, we may see some casualties, but I'm really happy with the manager and how he's looking to take us forward at the moment. Gary Donoghue, you hit the nail on the head earlier on, pal. You know me so well. Well played. There are 136 of you watching at the moment. I got 44 likes.
That's a disgrace, Jason.
Are you taking the piss? Are you really taking the piss out of me? You know, it's Thursday night. I could have my feet up. I could be in having a beer. I could be doing anything. No, I'm doing this. I'm doing this. Look what's happening. Yeah, I'm giving a T-shirt away again tonight. Look at the ABW T-shirt. Ooh, it's lovely. But no, I haven't got the likes yet, have I? Get the likes in there, please. Come on, chop, chop. Let's
otherwise,
get
Jace is going to find out where you live and randomly come around and beat one of you.
Do you know what makes me laugh, boys? Okay, so I'm
carry on films.
yeah, they do actually, but never mind. I'm quite chuffed to these T-shirts. You know what I mean? I kind of like them. So we're gonna, you know, when we got the one, there's one on its way to Nicky Wilson. He might have added by now. That went out in the post this week.
Did you have to get that one made extra large? Because I hear he's a bit of a pie fiend.
He's a big boy. He's a big boy. He's a tall lad. I'm not commenting on sizes. But I'm quite chuffed to them. And I look on Facebook earlier on, and a mate of mine does Ironman triathlons, and he raises money for the local hospitals in around Swansea Way. Fuck me blue. My brother's only gone and got him a Mo Salah jersey from Liverpool, signed by the whole squad, from Rian Brewster. I couldn't believe it. I thought... I saw it. It would go in the bin straight away.
But like him? Is that why you got it for him?
No. Yeah, he's mates with Brewster's father, so that's how he's got it. But it's for an auction. I just thought he's outdone me, the shitbag. I can't believe it. I'm gutted. You know. And then I am entering Arsenal online competitions, trying to win a Torreira shirt. But there we go. Oh, well played, people. Up to 67. Get it up to 90. Come on, let's go.
To get up to 100, Jason, do it topless.
Oh, God. before Danny asks a question and Jace does his T-shirt giveaway.
We're doing that at the end of the show.
We're going to do that at the end. But there is a couple of things just want to say quickly whilst we're halfway through, because we're going to do some questions as well. Obviously, make sure you like this as we're watching, as Jace already said. Make sure you subscribe. We're now at 5.1, I think, on the subscribe now, so we're trying to get that up. Make sure you hit the bell icon so you get notified whenever we go live, because if you don't do that, then you have to follow us on Twitter and follow our Twitter account at the AFC podcast, which also helps. You get updates on there. Go check out our Facebook page, where we're actually doing stuff with this season. Unbelievably, we're actually posting all the links on there, having discussions. Danny's in there all the time talking to people.
Danny's done a hell of a job.
For that, because we lost the password to the original account years ago, it's Facebook, and it's facebook.com/ the AFC podcast.
Yeah, so the AFC podcast, and you'll find us there. So go join in the discussion there. It's not just us. There's other Arsenal fans all from, like, all over the world, all talking in there. So it's good. It's a nice place to talk to other Gooners, see, you know, conversations about transfers, tactics, players, all that kind of thing, all good fun in there. If you've got good, you know, we like our Ornstein memes, post a couple of them in there, some Spurs ones, whatever. We
and
love all that
no
stuff.
No censorship either. You can swear all you want.
Yeah, so... So chuck all that stuff in there. We love all that. And obviously guys from the pod also jump in and out when they can as well to interact. But Danny's on there the most at the moment. But yeah, we're all trying to get on there a bit more. Shall we do some questions then, Jace?
Bear with me. First of all, Daniel Mage, or Madge or Mage, whatever you are, thank you very much from Norway. Yeah, me Fash, you are superb. Thank you very much. Pete Coulson, you're a cheeky monkey. That's very funny. Roy Keane, go fuck yourself. I couldn't give a monkeys. You can dislike us as much as you want, but I appreciate the fact you put a smiley face in the end. Well played. One other thing before we go forward. One player from the either of you. I'll go first in this, but I really loved watching Guendouzi. I think, you know, he's got a lot in his locker. I really like his attitude. I really like his drive, his go forward. Who else has impressed you in preseason? And I'll start with you, John, and then on to Dan.
I mean, Guendouzi's been the standout just because I didn't know anything about him. And he was so young and he was on, what, League Two last year he was playing in? So this is an impressive step up, although, again, preseason. Probably Aubameyang. And that's an easy one just because he's got the goals, but it's just his attitude. He's always smiling, he's laughing. Just the way him and Lacazette hang out together. I just absolutely love him. And a couple of times he's just absolutely torn past defences and players. And I can't wait to see. I really hope that he's going to absolutely tear it up this season, because he's hitting the ground running now. He's not coming from January. So fingers crossed, like he'll be banging in 25 plus goals at least this season. Can't wait for it.
Okay, Dan?
I'm going to go for, apart from Guendouzi, because he's brilliant, I'm going to go for Lacazette. After the disappointment of seeing the bittersweet disappointment of seeing your national team win the World Cup, when you know as a player you are more than good enough to be a part of that squad and you were left out because the manager doesn't like you. The manager doesn't like a lot of the players, so there's so many that were left out. After coming back from that disappointment and then getting, was it 6 or 7 goals in all 5 preseason friendlies, including the one where we beat... someone 9-0, I can't remember who they were now, Crawley Town or someone like that, beat those 9-0. We beat someone 9-0, but it wasn't a proper fit. It was a close behind close.
Whoa!
What are you worrying about?
Michael Hahnemann just gave us 10 quid. Oh my God. Michael Hahnemann, you are the Geraint Thomas of listeners. You are number one, fella. Oh my, I got to get Geraint Thomas in somewhere, didn't I? Welshman winning the Tour de France. I cried. It was beautiful. I do. And he's an Arsenal fan. It's fantastic. Michael Hahnemann, this show is for you and Geraint Thomas. You're right up there in yellow. Well played. Thank you very much. Sorry, carry on, Dan.
Whenever you say Geraint, it sounds like you're saying Geraint Thomas.
Don't take the piss or I'll burn your house down.
You leave too big of a gap between the gain and the rights. Right. I watched
the talk. It's how the Welsh speak, Danny. It's fine. Don't worry. If anyone's saying the name correctly, it's definitely Jason, not me and you.
Thank you ever so much.
Geraint? What? Geraint? He's doing San. That's how he should say Jason.
I tell you what, did you see it? He won the Tour de France. I couldn't believe it. He was magnificent. And then he talks about the Arsenal. How magic is that?
So Nicky Wilson's got a great comment there, but he probably had English blood transfusions.
There's now 2 packages on the way to you. Yeah. You open the first one, that'll be nice. I look forward to you opening the second one, fella. You're going down. By the way,
on it.
Daz Quince is from Jersey. So he'd know to say Debucci. I can't say that properly.
My family were from Guernsey, my dad's side. They used to own half of it. Anyway, where was I? Michael comes in, chucks us some money, then says, how are we all doing? Oh, we're doing brilliant, Michael. Cheers for that. That will go on, I don't know. What can we spend that money on? Nothing, really?
Hosting.
Yeah. Well, there you hosting. Go.
We could get Josh like a shade for the light and stuff so he doesn't get burnt.
People want to hear me say...
No. I'm not happy with it. I'm not happy, Josh. We're taking his hat away. We want him to burn.
People want to say how I say the G bloke is Guendouzi. That's officially how you say it. He was in the double feeder league last season. That's twice as bad as the normal feeder league. Brilliant. Go on.
Who's impressed your pre-season? Go on.
I'd forgotten the question. Told you, it's Lacazette.
Okay, cool. Right, let's go. Move on then. We'll go to some questions, is it? Should we go to some questions? Oh, by the way, boys, Geraint Thomas, Gunnar, Welshman, Tour de France winner. Oh, I'm in seventh heaven. The McManus asks, Czech saved another penalty. What's going on?
It's Jerry Payton, mate. The ghost of Jerry Payton has been exorcised. the power of Payton no longer compels Czech. It's got to be, isn't it? It's got to be.
I don't know. Maybe he just didn't turn up for penalties. That was in his contract. I have no idea. you know, I just look at it and I just thought, I watched that last night, saw the penalty given away, and I thought, I think he's going to save this because it's Morata, and you know, the sort of match clown was going on between Socrates and Morata last night. I don't know which one is worse, okay? But Jesus, how many has he saved in pre-season now?
It's quite a few. Yeah, Michael Heinemann, who made the lovely donation, just said that 10's as much for Czech as anything else for saving those penalties.
Okay, let's move on. Danny, Hassan Ramzan asks, who will start, Czech or Leno?
Czech. Definitely. You're not going to bring in a new goalkeeper who has struggled at times for his old club. Was it your club, John? Borussia Mönchengladbach?
No. He was
Bayer Leverkusen.
Yeah.
Yes. You're not going to get a new goalkeeper to come in. We'll see about 24, 25, something like that. You're not going to come in and kick Czech out straight away. If Czech would have left, then maybe. But Czech isn't leaving. Czech is staying with us, and probably for the best. And hopefully he'll stay as some kind of goalkeeping coach. But yeah, start the season. You ain't going to get many games, Leno, unless it's in the cup game or the UEFA Cup.
John, your opinion?
Yeah, I think for now it's Czech. I don't think it's like a definite, you know, who's going to be number one throughout the whole season. It will definitely go back and forth. So I think it's nice to have the option as well, to be honest.
After having Dave the Bins there, I'm over the moon to have Leno there. I agree with you. I think he'll start, but I think it's going to be a proper shootout for goalkeeper. And, yeah. You know, whoever's keeping clean sheets or performing well will get the position. I'll stick with you, John, because you mentioned this last season. No nickname required asks. Also, what the hell is going on with Nelson's contract? Now, I thought he'd signed a new contract. Tell me more.
As far as I know, it's still not signed. I really don't know what's happening. There's been some weird things in the paper lately, not just about Nelson, but young English players in general. So I should say the papers here in England, about young English players getting frustrated and going abroad to play as if it's a bad thing, which is, it's not all journalists, you know, it's certain ones who, you know, you shouldn't be reading in the first place, but you've seen Jordan Sancho go to Dortmund, do really well. You saw Willock's brother obviously left us and went to Benfica. And I think Reece Nelson is trying to, he's not like positioning himself, but he wants to know what sort of role he's going to have this season in the team, how much he's realistically going to play. Is he going to go out on loan? Is he staying at the club? That kind of thing. And deciding whether it's worth staying at Arsenal. So, you know, I think it really comes down to he wants minutes now. He wants game time. And it's like I said earlier, that we do not have a real attacking winger. So for him, I hope for us he stays. And I hope he takes the advantage of the fact that the squad is missing that type of player and really exploits that and gets himself as much time as possible. Also the fact that, you know, we've still got the Europa League this season. And like last season, he had to play that ridiculous sort of wing-back role, which is not his position at all. You would think that this time round, he'll more likely to start and he like will actually play in the position where he wants to. So I hope he stays. But again, it's down to the club to... It's not a money thing. It's a, you know, convince me I'm going to get minutes, that kind of thing.
I think another thing to be said, and that would be, it's down to Nelson to earn his spot as well. You know, even for these young guys, you look at AMN, you know, the guy, Mr. Horizontal, the guy who frustrates the hell out of me, but always impresses the hell out of me. He's gone out there and he's earned the right to play in that team last season. Yeah. I think he'll have a go this season as well. Okay, I'll answer the next one. Peter Coulson asks, if we don't achieve fourth or a Champions League spot this season, will it be game over for senior Emery? No, I don't think so. I think if he finishes any lower than sixth, he may have an issue. But, you know, that would be really harsh. I think, you know, the squad is sixth at worst, right? So, you know, we'd have to have a real meltdown to finish lower than that. But, you know, it all depends on performances. And to be fair, I'm just feeling I always feel positive when my kidding, but I just look at it and I just think, I think he could do something surprising this season, but I don't think fourth is the waterline on it. I think it would be lower than sixth. So anything seventh or lower, and he could face issues. But we're not that kind of club either, are we? So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. John, I'm coming back to you for this. Thunder Road asks, John Welsh, using current Arsenal player kit, how many of your current co-workers have you shagged? For example, Bellerin is two.
I did answer in the chat, but for anyone who isn't watching live, if you include people who no longer work there, Mkhitaryan, is he number seven? He is, isn't he? So, yeah, Mkhitaryan. We'll stop there.
Oh, Jesus, this is going to the dogs. I love it. I always love the way we descend into debauchery.
I didn't even understand the question.
Good. Good. Never mind. Danny.
Hello.
Okay, I don't know what's John's... I don't know. John's only got half the question, so I do apologise. Stan the Man asks, do you think Ozil's last contract is behind Ramsey stalling? Could the same thing happen with other players in the future? Has Ozil's wages set the bar?
Well, when you take into consideration the stature of Ozil when we signed him, he was our number one star diamond player with platinum little sparkly bits around the edge. And then the next one down would have been Sanchez, another huge signing. I mean, £45 million now, you wouldn't even get a youth player's boots for that now, would you? So yeah. When you take into consideration those two facts, they're both on high wages, they were both pulling the team. They were the two best players at the team. Ozil hasn't been as good in the last season, 18 months, as he should have been. So yeah, I'd say that is definitely the reason behind it. But those people have come to the club as big name star players, and they're making sure that they stay like that. No one's ever going to come on 140 grand a week, and when wages are going through the roof, go, yeah, I'll accept a lower wage offer. No one likes. That's why Wilshere left. Wilshere wasn't even a star player. So yeah, Ramsey, I think it's going to try and make himself be seen at the club as a big deal, and throughout the world football as a big deal, like he is for Wales. He is one of their best players. May even go down as one of the best players in his generation playing for them. And I think he wants to be seen with that kind of respect and that kind of that future at Arsenal. So you can't really blame him, but should have been done by now, shouldn't it? It's ridiculous. And it's getting a bit dark here, but the light's over there and I can't reach.
Yeah, to be honest, it's not just that, though. You know, you look, as you said, you know, football's spiraling out of control with the money that's involved in it. It's ridiculous. That snowball effect is just it keeps on surprising me. It really does. So, you know, what we think of as value for money has no relation to actually what's happening in football. So I think
last season I'm no longer going to moan about wages or transfer fees. It's just so absolutely crazy when you've got people get paying 20, 30 million pounds for players I've never even heard of. It's madness. This can only end one way. As football, we pay for their wages and everything by paying for it on TV, and then we pay to go and see what we pay for to see on TV. So it's like I always say, we're the product and we're the customer all at the same time. We're the ones that have been milked for these pricks to be earning £500,000 a week. And I, for one, won't stand for it. But oh, we'll be getting the games this season for the first time in a decade.
Good man. Dan, I hope you've thought of that question, and because we're going to be coming to that soon. Okay, the star of the show, Michael Hahnemann, asks, and this is for you, John, how many of the youngsters will actually get to feature this season for you guys? Do you think they'll be left to the cup competitions? You know, what he's talking about, Maitland-Niles, Nelson, Smith-Rowe, etc. I mean, is it going to be a rinse-repeat of last season, League Cup, or whatever the new cup is now? Europa Cup early stages, FA Cup for the youngsters? Or do you think some of them might feature in the Premier League?
I think Maitland-Niles will probably feature in the Premier League at some point. Whether it's early on or not, I don't know. Maybe around like Christmas time when you get the really busy period, you could definitely see them in the Cups. Again, if Nelson does sign his contract and whatever, then I'd imagine Europa League, FA Cup, whoever it is that's sponsoring the League Cup now, is it still that Chinese company. I can't
remember. Made up some number Wang name.
I can't remember what the name of that thing is now.
Carabao
Cup, that's it. Yeah. So the League Cup. I guess they get played in that. I think you'll see Nketiah as well a bit more than you did last season, just because it looks like we're going to play Aubameyang and Lacazette most of the time together. It's not like going to be a rotation. We don't really have any other strikers. So Nketiah will get more games, I hope, which I think is a good thing. He definitely needs them. And maybe we might see a little bit in the early stages of the Europa League and maybe, again, League Cup of, I've forgotten the kid's name already, Emil Smith-Rowe as well, who looks quite good at times in pre-season. Obviously not bulky enough yet and got muscled about a little bit too much, but he's still a boy, basically. I think you'll see some of him as well.
And our youths are playing in that tournament, which is like used to be the Checkatrade Trophy. It used to be called.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the weird thing where if you're from a certain league down, then you're automatically in it, and then the youth teams go in it because there's no B team youth league or whatever the hell they have. Weird. Yeah, it's very odd. It's basically because the old reserve league is essentially dead, isn't it?
It's all the under 23s, but apparently there's a lot going on within the 23s leagues this season. And apparently they're marketing it quite well, and there's going to be a few more people going to watch those. But of course, you've got to be there. It's not going to be televised. So
yeah,
let's hope the under 23 league does become a more competitive league, because these guys deserve that competition to be able to grow their talent.
The reserve league used to be very competitive, didn't it? But
yeah, but you know, the whole world of football has changed since those days. Yeah. You know, it's all about the youngsters coming through now. If you can get a couple of gems every other season, you know, it's worth hundreds of millions of pounds to you, isn't it? You know, so it's the way forward. Gary Donahue asks, and I'm going to answer this one. Serious question, lads. I know we all say Emery needs time, but at the end of the day, does that really matter? If we're absolutely out of our debt financially, with City, United and Liverpool outspending us, one of the things to remember is, okay, we've had a restricted budget this season, okay? We know that, but then there are new Emirates deals going to kick in. There's going to be a new Adidas deal kicking in soon. You know, there is going to be an increase in the money available to us, and these are going to be big deals. You know, if you look at market value of what some of the other guys have had, you know, the Adidas football kit deal is going to be sort of 60 to 70 million quid a season. So that is going to increase our spending powers. A lot of which the trouble we're facing at the moment has been on the wages side of it. Well, that's going to increase our ability to spend on wages by quite a significant amount. So I think we have to keep this in place. You know, you have to keep positive on it. And, you know, if Liverpool don't win a Premier League and they continue to not win trophies, they're going to find themselves in some serious trouble. I know. You know, the Suarez and Coutinho deals have helped them out a lot in the past, but they've spent an awful lot of money. That soon dries up. You know, you've got to stick in it. We're run well. We will have money to spend. So we've got to keep that in perspective. You know, I never like hoisting the white flag and giving up. You've got to be positive, and we've got to go to compete. And I think, you know, as much as I say, yes, we need to give Emery time, he's still got a very good squad. The only thing he's really lacking is pace at the back and up top. You know, you only got Aubameyang. I'm not sure really how quick Nelson is, but I don't think he's lightning. A couple of pacey players in this squad could make the whole difference. And okay,
do you want some breaking news, Jace?
Yeah, go.
Straight from Instagram.
Go on.
So Aubameyang's dad, and this is Aubameyang's dad, his account. He's just put a picture up. They're obviously celebrating. I don't know what it is, but there's Aubameyang's dad. There's Aubameyang's there. Lacazette's there. Guendouzi, Mkhitaryan. And there's one other guy there who doesn't play for Arsenal.
Dembele,
yeah. So, of course, all the comments are, he's coming to Arsenal. So there you go. You've got it. Aubameyang's dad's just broken the news. Dembele's clearly signing for Arsenal.
Okay, I'm not sure what to say to that, but let's not say anything. Right, guys, it's competition time. Who wants a Bergkamp Wonderland t-shirt? Who wants one? Go on, stick your hand up if you want one. Stick your hand
up. I'd like mine.
I'm 20 yards on this slot.
If Sean loves her, she sleeps in it every night. She's not washed it in 2 weeks.
Superb. I love that. Right. The rules are this, okay? We're going to ask you a question. All right, guys? First person to put in the chat box the correct answer wins the T-shirt, okay? If you're from abroad, I will check out how much it is to post to you. If it's cheap, I'll pay for it. If it's not, you may have to contribute. But let's wait and see, is it? But, right, stop putting everything in the chat box, guys. Get ready for this, okay? Danny, have you got the question?
Jason, I can confirm I have the question.
Well done, Daniel. Oh, it's all exciting. Oh, I feel like I'm a game show host.
A little What's bit of wheeze has come out. Oh.
Daniel.
Jason.
Go for it.
Right, Nicky Wilson isn't allowed to enter this, obviously, because he's won. Now, the rules for this, I'm stipulating the correct full name spelling, including spacing, no capitalization. We don't need that, but it's got to be the full name as you would find on Wikipedia. What club did Aaron Ramsey join on loan to get his fitness? The first one after he had his injury.
Tick tock.
Well, they're 7 seconds behind, aren't they?
Oh, even I don't know that. Jesus. I'm trying to
think. It's one of two. I know the two clubs he's been to.
He joined two. So it's the first one he joined.
I think I know, and I think Chris Gunter was there as well.
No, Corey's wrong. Oh, Cactus Jack 81, sir. Oh! Correct spelling, correct pronunciation, correct capitalization. And I think that is the one who's just sent us a message on Twitter saying that he's, I think it was Cactus Cash, said he's bought himself a new laptop just so he could come on.
Cactus Jack, you are superb. You are a winner, son. Well done. Congratulations. And the correct answers, CeeLo AFC, That Fly Pigeon, Neil Vergala, Michael Hahnemann. Oh, I tell you what, okay. I love this. You're all brilliant. If you are listening on iTunes, if you join us live, you could win a T-shirt. Don't get me wrong. It's not the greatest thing ever, but it's nice.
Is Cactus Jack Cactus Cash? Because it's too weird that there'd be two people following us that are called Cactus. So are you the same person?
I don't know.
He says, yes, that's him. Good. Cactus DM us your address, and then I'll get Jason to post it to you in about 2 years.
Right, Cactus Jack, I need from you, what colour do you want? Do you have a choice of red, black, or yellow? And I need your size, and I need your address, mate. And I'll message you back, and we'll get that sorted. To everybody who's taken part in that, I love you all. You're just fantastic.
And but Jason asks for any half semi-naked pictures, don't send them, because those ones Nikki sent, they're all over the internet now.
That's all I've got to say, guys, is I've only got 82 likes. Come on, let's go. Let's have some likes. Honestly, you know, we talk of this quite a lot, but when I first spoke to Danny and then I came on the podcast and then we joined the show, I've met some brilliant people and it's just a fantastic thing to do. And I'm lucky enough to, you know, this chat box is just magnificent. So, you know, you're just superb, all of you, whether you're listening on iTunes, whether you're in, especially you guys in the chat box, there's a load of regulars in there who I've got an absolute lot of love for. You're just brilliant. So let's begin to wrap this up. And as a guys, so, you know, season starts soon, guys. You know, I'm excited about the new manager. I'm terrified of Socrates. And if you're a Socrates fan, sorry, but I just am. I'm worried about our lack of pace, but I still think we'll do well. John, you know, where are you with it all?
Yeah, I mean, just excited for the season to start. I think, you know, we've also got the advantage of half the Spurs team is still on the holiday, which is funny. They've got their terrible stadium toilet thing they've got to play in, which will be hilarious. It's 3 years Mourinho's been at United now, so obviously he's got to be insulting to every single player and everything about the club and all its history, so all the fans hate him. So we get to see that implode.
The Spurs players, the new signings, really, they got a bed in, haven't they?
We get to see Aubameyang and Lacazette have a full season together, which I think is going to be great.
Stop it.
That's really exciting. Terreira's coming in, which is just that's brilliant. I love him. He's great to watch. I think it relieves Xhaka of some of the issues he's had in midfield, frees him up. We get to see a fully fit Mkhitaryan as well with a full preseason. Just the whole team having a full preseason together is just the rarity at Arsenal. I'm really excited. And just from a Premier League perspective, like seeing Wolves and stuff like that back in the Premier League, seeing Fulham back as well, just all really big positives for me. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to the season.
Is he on mute? Is he talking?
I don't know.
Go, Dan, go on.
All right. I agree with everything that John said. I am as excited as I was on Christmas Eve 1984 when I was 14 and I had an inkling that my mum and dad were going to buy me a computer. And they bought me a computer and I really, really wanted a Commodore 64. But the fucking arsehole in Woolworths convinced them the Commodore 16 was a far better choice. So I was all excited and just hope it doesn't turn to shit and I end up with a Commodore 16 of a season.
Okay.
That bloke, I'm going to kill him.
I'll do it for you for free, mate.
There's two you've got to kill. Got to kill Chris and him.
I can confirm, although obviously we made a little bit of a joke about the Dembele post. It is a genuine post and his dad really did post it. And Chris has just posted it in one of our groups with the old big eyes looking at, oh, look, who's the odd one out there. So as Chris has posted it, it means Dembele is definitely signing. If he doesn't, make sure you go to @AFCFreddy8. Yeah. And give him abuse if Dembele doesn't sign. Ask him where Malcolm is as well.
And by the way, caveat it all with Lamar is close.
I heard he's 50-50, but yeah.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Abdul Farah asks, we're going to do one last question. And it's a great question, I think. Abdul Farah asks, and I want just the name from both of you. Who do you think will be our player of the season this season? Danny, you first.
Aubameyang, as the kids say.
John.
I'm gonna go Terreira. I'm gonna go for it. I'm going
Ooh,
for it.
Big
going
shout.
Big one. Yeah, big shout.
Okay, guys, who do you think I'm gonna pick?
West Ham. You're burning your Arsenal shirt going off to West Ham.
I will be doing live shows for West Ham United there as of next season.
Tell you, Irons.
Oh, God. It's going to be Aaron Ramsey. It always is Aaron Ramsey. Let's have it.
And we didn't even talk about the fact that managers are now going to get yellow and red cards. But I can hear you're never going to see Jose again.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. It's been a hell of a week, guys, to be fair. Been some positive stuff with pre-season. A Welshman and a Gooner wins the Tour de France. Come on, Geraint Thomas, you fucking magic man. See, now,
nobody can hear that without thinking, Geraint Thomas, who's he? From the 1800s.
Behave yourself. I'm still so chuffed with that. It's beyond belief. I've been walking on cloud nine. It's like winning the league or winning the cup final. It's just, I'm just walking around in a daze and a smile.
I told you he could win it because he was brilliant and he was in a yellow shirt for ages. And now we've got the Spanish one, Valletta.
Do you know what I really love about him, okay? I really love about him. He never goes anywhere without his Welsh flag. Yeah. And it's the biggest thing. He said, oh, yeah, I had a phone call from Arsene Wenger. I'm an Arsenal fan. That's just insane. He was so chuffed with it. You know what I mean? It's little things like that about people, which I love. You know, it's just superb. Richmond 09. Yeah, I know. Socrates. I'm worried. I really am worried.
You need a hard bastard in the defence. You need a quick nippy one and you need a hard bastard.
To be a hard bastard, you have to get there. You have to be able to get there and you have to stay on your feet. And he hasn't shown he can do either yet. I hope I'm wrong. I pray to God I'm wrong.
Wrap it up. Come on.
Right. Okay. So that's it. So, right, okay, to everybody who's listened on iTunes, thank you very much. You know, what can I say? You keep on supporting us and we keep on being blown away by it. We're really looking forward to this season. We will be live after every single competitive match, okay? Every single competitive match. We're going to do lineups the first few shows soon. Transfer deadline day is this week. Danny's also working on a podcast telling you about all the ABW members, how they got into the Arsenal, and you know what their relationship with the club, etc.
Everyone's doing 5 minutes.
Yeah, everyone's 5 minutes.
You and Chris to keep it to 5 minutes.
I know, shocking, isn't it? So we're really looking forward to the season. To everybody in the chat box, you rock. You absolutely rock, and you keep on blowing us away. Thank you very much. You know, the like button's a bit light there. So why don't you just get on and hit that like button? Let's get on with it. Come on, let's go. Boom, boom, boom. Let's get up to 100. I'm on 86. What are you doing? What are you doing with your lives? And we will see you next week for Transfer Deadline Day. If you do want to be take part in Transfer Deadline Day, give us a message on Twitter, please, or on Facebook. Danny's doing great work on both of those. Let us know. You will need headphones. You will need a hard link unless you get exceptional Wi-Fi. Danny will sound test you. If you're doing it off your phone and you're taking the mickey, you're going to get chucked off. It's as simple as that. Please like our YouTube page and please click on notifications.
Please like
and
you'll us. Know
if you like us, I love you forever. And you know, you'll know exactly when we're going live after every game.
Probably.
Guys, probably. Thank you ever so much. Take care. Good night. The season's nearly here. Danny, switch this off.
Gay rights, Thomas.
Da-da.